How can I not carry out fleshly indulgence? How? What does God say about that? The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, shares Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. There's the answer. We don't do it perfectly, we fail, but that's how we do it.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, there's a common thread in the messages that we've been broadcasting these last few days.
Yes, there is, Dave, and that common thread has to do with how to keep from shipwrecking our faith. So with this in mind, turn with us to Colossians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 20 to 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
A humanistic evil twist brought by those who attempt to take captive with persuasive arguments. He's not speaking of this person who is controlled by the Spirit of God, yielded, which produces self-control when you abide in Christ. You have no self-control when you're not abiding in Christ. You have self-control when you're abiding in Christ. We're going to see. When His Word is working in your heart, His Spirit is leading you, you're walking with Spirit, well, that fruit is going to be self-control. It's when we're not doing that we don't have self-control. Now, these are obviously negative. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Obviously, refer to food and drink in this example specifically. But we know these things, this type of self-denial is purely demonic. It's demonic in this context. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, but the Spirit explicitly says in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared their own conscience as with a branding iron. You think, whoa, what's coming here? What are these doctrines? They must be horribly, wickedly evil. Well, they are. But he says here, men who forbid marriage. That's a demonic doctrine. And he says here, and advocate of standing for foods. They advocate it. In some way, they make it appear that certain foods are less spiritual than other foods, whatever it might be, which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude. Thank you, Lord, right? And for it is sanctified by the means of the Word of God. God says so. He declared all things clean, right? Jesus did. And prayer. So it's probably those demonic doctrines, that's part of it, but I think it goes farther than that, as we're going to see. But notice what he says. We see the twisted reality of this self-denial. He says, verse 22, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using. It's like this is stuff that's going to go away. That's going to go away. Let me illustrate. Some might attribute a spiritual value to being poor. Does God expect us all to live in poverty? Scripture says there are those who are poor and those who are wealthy. The real issue is where your heart is. 1 Timothy 6, Paul tells Timothy to instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, but to fix their hope in God, who provides all things richly to enjoy, and to be generous, storing for themselves a treasure in heaven. He doesn't say you have to be poor to be godly. He says get your heart right. Make sure your heart's right. One pastor puts it this way, spirituality isn't Christianity plus poverty. It's not Christ plus taking a bath. It's not Christ plus living in a monastery. It's not Christ plus anything. All those things are going to perish. They're all going to perish. They are just the commandments and teachings of men, just pure human religion. These things, saying, why are you attributing value to these things, spiritually speaking, when they're going to perish? Why are you attributing spiritual value to them? Now, as we look at our passage, they go farther than just simply abstaining from a ham sandwich for Christ. They go farther than that. Look at verse 23. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. It goes farther than just abstaining from some little drink or a sandwich or whatever it is. Notice he says here, severe treatment of the body. The term severe means not sparing. And the body here, soma, somatos, speaks of the physical body. He's talking about treating your body badly so that you don't sin. Whether it's by not sleeping so that you don't sin, whether it's by not eating, whatever it's by not being clothed well, whatever it could be, treating your body badly, severe treatment of the body to not sin. He's talking about severe physical self-denial in a spiritual package. Okay? Food, clothing, sleep, God-ordained relationships, severe treatment of the body. And it's so as to keep oneself from indulging in the flesh. Remember, they have no value against fleshly indulgence. So the commands here, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, are to hold your flesh down so that you don't sin. But at core, it's man's teaching, not God's. Notice what he says, end of 22, these are in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. It's earthly wisdom, as we'll see, to try to follow Jesus. It's man's commandments. It's man's teaching. That's the way false teachers are relating to you these things, the seemingly wise decrees coming from a human wisdom and framework packaged religiously. It's twisted. It's actually not from God. If you do these things or you be like we are, then you will be more holy. You won't yield to those areas, supposedly speaking. So why would you submit to these things which are from the world when you've died to these things in Christ? Jesus is all you need. Why would you do it when you have Jesus and you've died to sin? You've died to these things. Why would you fast to be holy, to keep yourself from sinning? Why, when you have Jesus and in him you're complete? I hear people say they got to fast to stop sinning. Sorry, that's wrong. Again, you can look at that message on fasting. It's not fasting that stops you from sinning. It is Jesus. Now, you may, out of a desire and a broken heart, want to stay away from food to focus on the Lord. That's different. Why would you do these things when you're complete in him? Why would you isolate yourself from the world to keep yourself from sinning? We have Jesus, and in him we're complete. We are the salt and light in the world. You see, I'm going to isolate from the world so I don't sin. You're no longer salt and light. You're in a monastery, and you're sinning there. Why would you do that? Why would you not eat certain foods to be more holy when you have Jesus and in him you're complete? Why would you do stuff to protect yourself from fleshly indulgence when you have everything you need in Jesus? There's a lot of things out there, a lot of books out there. Take pornography, a lot of things and a lot of steps you got to take to protect yourself from that. Hey, there's some wise stuff there, but that does not protect you at all. It is Jesus Christ alone who delivers you from that. Got to be careful. Why would you go back into the world when you die with Christ? Why would you do it? You're trying to combat your flesh with man-centered religious decrees rather than Christ. What's the temptation? Verse 23, these are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement, severe treatment in the body. What's the temptation? They are matters, those things, the don't do this, don't do that, just hold yourself down. They are matters that have the appearance of wisdom. The world says, wow, these people are really spiritual. On the surface, without knowledge from Christ through his word, it appears to be wise. And he says, in self-made religion. Now, this is a hard portion to translate, but you could take this phrase and translate it this way. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom. You could say it literally here. Which are, to be sure, indeed having a logon or a word of wisdom. These things indeed surely appear to be wise. They appear to be wise. To the naive believer who's struggling with the flesh, or the believer who's weary of the good fight of faith, the temptation to sin is great because it's something solid you can do rather than trusting in Jesus Christ and abiding in him. You got to believe he's going to do what he said. You got to believe he is who he is. You got to trust him that no temptation has overcome you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful who will provide a way of escape. You got to trust him when you fall, that if you confess your sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins. Don't set up systems. Learn to abide in Jesus more closely in that sense, or more often, maybe is a better way to say it. That's what we need to do. When I sinned, I wasn't abiding in the Lord. When I yielded to temptation, I wasn't abiding in him. Nothing I could have done could have kept me from doing those things, at least it could have kept me from physically maybe doing them, but I just sinned by the way I was doing it, right? Because I'm not abiding in Christ, but trusting in my own wisdom. You see, our fleshly desires wage war with our souls, and we don't want to be in that war. We want to get out of it. So there's a book here, a book there. There's nothing wrong with books. They point you to Christ Jesus and his ways, but if they give you a list of ways to do stuff, get away from those things. Satan, through evil men and women, will tempt us with an evil solution that's not from God, but appears to be wise. And yet the irony of that evil solution is that we ultimately end up indulging in the flesh. And it doesn't help us from indulging in those things we were trying to get away from. We indulge in a religious way. What might some of these decrees look like today on a simple level? I mean, I'll give you some of the large examples. Don't dance. Don't swim when the opposite sex is present. Don't watch TV. Don't eat meat. Don't drink wine. Don't eat sugar. Don't use modern appliances. Don't wear jewelry. Women, don't wear pants. Don't miss your quiet time. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying these things are right or wrong. Some of them are fine within themselves. But where are you coming from in the context of trying not to do these things? You see, the solution is not to hold your body down to a set of rules. The solution is to abide in Jesus, and he changes your heart towards things that are wrong. He changes your heart, and he helps you not go that way. It's different. It's through Jesus. So then these things have to be sure of the word of wisdom, literally. Yet, notice it says, in self-willed religion. That's really what it means. You could actually translate that self-willed worship. It's you're following Jesus your own way, not yourself. These are matters which, be sure, have the appearance of wisdom or the word of wisdom in self-made religion. It's made up by you. You just made up a religion. And then he says in self-abasement. That goes along with it. We saw this word earlier. Self-abasement means humility. It means a lowering, literally a lowering of the mind. But in context, as we saw back in verse 18, there were those who delighted in it. It's perverted. They delight in a lowering of the mind. I'm becoming more like Jesus. And there's this perverse humility, which is actually pride. And guess what? When you hold to a bunch of rules, you can actually kind of think you're doing pretty good. You can be, in a sense, thinking your humility by doing these things is great, and you're actually exalting yourself. You know, some people have little rules and stuff. They always seem to be better than others. We had family that was saying you can't have certain types of clothing at the pool, you know. Wait a second, other people feel more holy if they act like them. It's not true. You let the Lord Jesus, through his word, convict you of what is right and wrong, and then you obey the Lord Jesus. Not following some person in their faux humility based on their actions. Don't do that. Self-abasement. They delight in it, the bad guys. And here we see that this brings about a false humility. When you follow rules, you get a false humility. Not good. Indeed, those who think they're spiritual want people to see them, spiritually speaking, as that way. They want them to see how they're obeying these rules, in a sense. They want them to see that. Take, for instance, the Pharisees. Well, before that, you got the monks in their little uniforms. You got the priests with their collars. You got so spiritual. You got the Pharisees fasting. Matthew chapter 6. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face. They were fasting to be holy, and they're like, they didn't wash their face, and like this. I said, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fasting. You know, see how twisted that is? Do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen by men. Okay? Truly, truly, I say they have their reward in full. So there are believers who've been deceived into believing that through worldly religious wisdom that certain things they don't do makes them more holy. Now you, in Christ, the Spirit of God working in your life may have you not do those things. But it's where does it come from? Notice we have the reality exposed here. He says, these are matters, verse 23, to be sure, have the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe truth of the body. We've talked about that. But are of no value against fleshly indulgence. The term literally is, they are not of any honor unto the indulgence of the flesh. There's no value, there's no weight. Honor means weight. There's no weight. It doesn't have any weight to it. It's empty. It has no value in stopping you from fleshly indulgence. In fact, you are indulging in the flesh by doing it, and even though you're not doing those other things that you're trying to not do, right? There's no value. There's no greater value to stop you from the indulging in the flesh. That's why you don't want to follow a book that's got a bunch of do's and don'ts regarding things you're struggling with. It needs to point you to Jesus Christ and His sufficiency and abiding in Him and walking in Him. That's fine. But not to do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Don't do it. Have no weight. And it does the opposite. It feeds pride and reliance on the flesh. People who are following rules are the most prideful spiritual people you'll see. You'll see them. And they are, in that context, relying on their flesh. How demonic. They have the appearance of wisdom, but they have no value against fleshly indulgence. The very thing you're trying to escape becomes that which you succumb to. That's why we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. That's why we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go for those things, we're basically saying, you are not enough, Lord Jesus. You're not strong enough to prevent me from doing this. You're not wise enough to prevent me. That's what you're saying, maybe through your action. You may not say that, but that's what you're saying. I need these things. Nope, you don't. You need Christ. Remember, he said, I say this in order that no one delude you with persuasive argument. In Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Commands, decrees have no power over the flesh, only the living Christ, God in human flesh, who is in us, whom we are complete, who has brought us from death to life, complete forgiveness, our sins obliterated. Only the living Christ can set us free from the power of the flesh. Rest in your union with Christ. Rest in Christ. We're going to see the very next thing we're to do is to set our minds on the things above, not the things of earth. Now, if you think about that, the things of earth here were these decrees here, were these things of following Jesus, man's way. Set your mind on the things above. And then he's going to say, after that, he's going to say, consider yourself dead to sin. We're dead to it when we abide and trust in Jesus Christ. So then, we can run to him that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Our deliverance from temptation is based on a faithful God, not a rule. That doesn't mean that in trusting in Jesus, I might not do certain things. That's true. But it's not those things, not doing them, that protects me from being indulging in the flesh. No temptation has overtaken you, but is such as common to man. That should be the first thing that is shared in counseling sessions. Because everyone thinks their life is worse, their temptation is worse than ours. You don't know what it's like. You don't know. No temptation has overcome you except that which is common to man. And God is what? Faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted past what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And we fail. We don't trust him at times, but confess your sin and trust him. Let me illustrate maybe a little illustration as we finish up here. It's not the command that we're not to see R-rated movies, let's say, that keeps me in check. It is the living Christ, when trusted, who will exhibit his life in us. Does Christ desire me to see bad movies? No, he doesn't. Right? When I'm depending on Christ and yielding to him, he's going to change my desires from those fleshly ones to his desires. You see? In Christ, we have everything we need. And the result may end up being the same, but one is through the flesh and one is through abiding in Christ. What a big difference. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. That's the word of God. In order that by them, you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Notice he doesn't say his precious and magnificent commands. It's his promises. Now within that, we understand what he commands us, but it's in the context of his promise to enable us to do what he's called us to do. So then, the very thing you're trying to stop through decrees has no stopping value, but actually is an indulgence in the flesh. One last passage. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. You see, well, how can I not carry out the desire of the flesh? How can I not do it? How can I not carry out these fleshly indulgences? How? What does God say about that? The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, shares Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. There's the answer. We don't do it perfectly. We fail. But that's how we do it. He says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The law is the do's and don'ts. God's going to make that law go in your heart so you do it by Him, not by the letter. He changes you. He makes you do what's right. Enables you to do so. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envious, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarn you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You see, when we're abiding in Christ, there's no law in that sense, because He's enabling us to do what He wants us to do. And it's right. Notice He says here, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. That's your state. That's your state. But notice, if that's your state, if that's how we live, let us walk this way too. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Every day, trusting God, renewing your heart and mind with His Word, allowing Him to change you, change your attitudes, change your thoughts, protect you, direct you. Thy rules I have hid in my heart. Thy Word I have hid in my heart. Man's rules I have hid in my heart that I wouldn't sin against Thee. No, Thy Word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. The Lord uses His Word by His Spirit to protect us and direct us and lead us and guide us. So then, how can we keep from having our faith shipwrecked? Trust in the all-sufficiency of Christ, God in human flesh, in whom we've been made complete and we have complete salvation. Allow His Word to work in your heart by His Spirit. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some of you out there maybe who've sinned by relying on rituals to not sin, to deal with your flesh. Confess. Be forgiven. Be forgiven. And then, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Some of you are doing well. See to it that no one takes you captive. Don't let it happen. Trust in Christ. You see, in Him we have everything we need.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Well, Dave, the takeaway is simply this. We need to see to it that no one takes us captive, that we don't allow our faith to get shipwrecked. We need to trust in the all-sufficient God who took on human flesh, Jesus Christ, in whom we've been made complete, in whom we have a complete salvation, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is only through faith in Him, believing His Word, abiding in Him, that we can be delivered from sin rather than human systems or whatever it might be. So then, are you willing to trust Christ the way you did when you got saved? That's how we are delivered from sin.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.